Thank you, Brother Ron, Brother Frant, dear brethren. And we chose that hymn, I think, for the words primarily, as it would relate to a testimony. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. As it's been accomplished in each and everyone's hearts here, so we'll look forward to those testimonies. What you do? Oh, okay. But as we're also aware, perhaps many of you had commissions to send some love to the convention, and we too, as we traveled, I didn't take time yesterday to do that. So I think just kind of up front, before we get to testimonies, I would just like to get those greetings of love. Let's take a few minutes to do that. We've got a roving mic. We have some love to share. We've got Sister Sharon right up front here. So Brother Scott's got a roving mic for you there. Hold the mic so we can hear you.
Brother Ed and brethren, we bring the love of our Portland class. I think Brother Bill also did it before, but anyway, for Portland area Bible students. And then secondly, our son Aaron, Leslie in Ohio, sent his love. Bob and Rebecca Gray from New Jersey, Marilee Wesolowski from New Jersey,
yes.
And Laddie and Debbie Stewart from Ohio.
Very nice. Thank you. And I don't know if the gain on that handheld mic needs to be added, brought up a little. We got right here, Sister Judy.
Sister Colleen Stewart, I know, would want her love sent. I think she's online, and she loves each one of you.
Very good. Yeah, we're not hearing the handheld mic very well at all, as far as what I can hear from the speakers, so maybe the gain needs to be brought up on that. There was somebody right behind you there, Brother Aaron.
Love from Brother James and Sister Amanda Biddle. And also from Brother Walter and Sister Andrea Schroeder.
Very good. Yeah, much better on the mic there. Brother Ed, we're kind of work our way back, brethren.
Brother Brian, Sister Ann Kutcher, Brother Roman Kuzma, Sister Emily Clues, Sister Jan Kloss, Sister Linda Hayes, my mother, Sister Molly Heidelbach, our daughter and son-in-law, Brother John and Sister Jennifer Keenest, and Brother Bob and Sister Nancy Luker.
Oh, wonderful. That's right. They're up in your area here now. Like, we'll talk about that. Great. Thank you. Okay. Good. Yes. Next, right there.
I bring greetings from the Bellevue Bible Students Ecclesia from Washington, from Brother Walter Markievich, his wife Irene Markievich, and also Teresa and Brother Nikolai as well. Angelina, Christina, and Sister Lizzie.
Oh, Sister Lizzie.
And also from India as well. Greetings from my dear wife's family over there as well.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Worldwide here. Sister Joy.
Brother Ed, Dennis and Karen Long sent their love. They wanted to be here, but they traveled a couple weeks before that. Mm-hmm. And Carol Long and Robbie Long also. And then Stephen Rosalie Palmgren sent their love, and Donnie and Ron Palmgren. But I think we should remember Sister Virginia Palmgren especially now.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a recent email came out there through the old Ron. Yes, Brother Richard, please.
Love from Brother Tim and Julian Allen, currently from Alabama.
Okay. Working our way back a little further there. We've got Brother Russ over on the other side, but now Sister Sandy there.
Hello, I'm Sister Sandy Self from Austin, Texas, and I bring the greetings. Well, half of our class of the San Antonio Ecclesia is here, and I'd like to bring the greetings of the remaining members. Sister Judy Calson, Sister Sandy Hendricks, and Sister Jackie Lancaster bring their love.
Thank you. Brother Russ?
Love for my folks, Ted and Marcy Martin. My mom's currently in the hospital, but just for some tests, nothing serious.
Okay.
And also from John and Nancy Hummel from Detroit, and Tom and Cheryl Ruggiero also from Chicago, and Joe and Kathy.
Thank you. Who you got right back there, Brother Aaron? Sister Betty?
Sister Joy Thompson from Montana Center Special.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And let's see, I think Brother Scott's coming around there. Sister Hannah.
I'm sorry. My mother and my father, Clifford and Lee Penny, send their love for the class, and all the love from the Weatherford Parker County Ecclesia send their love.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Some of them Texas brethren we know. Yes. Yeah.
Brother George Wilmot sent his love from Moldova.
Wonderful.
And Sister Nichols from Texas. Sister Ann Michalicha from Saskatchewan. And just got an email from Sister Cooley. Barry Cooley's wife.
Okay. Yes.
And they're going to be having an immersion in their class tomorrow. And it's going to be held in their hot tub. So it's a member, Emily Dulo. I don't know if many know her. But her husband has been coming to the meetings a long time, and he wanted to symbolize his consecration this morning. And you all know what Brother Barry, with his condition, yeah. He's got severe Alzheimer's. Well, he would talk to this individual. I forget his name. But he says, when you want to symbolize your consecration, you come here, and we're going to do it in the hot tub. So sweet. Sister Cooley is going to be bringing Barry out with a special van tomorrow. Just don't know if he'd be able to really follow through, but they just felt it really would be touching if he was there.
So this is the Winnipeg area, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so think of our brethren there in Winnipeg. Yeah, interesting experience. Again, Brother Russ?
Got a text just as I handed off the microphone from Sister Debbie DeCroft. I think she's online.
Okay.
She's from our class at Puget Sound and sends her love. She's in Ohio with her mother right now.
Very good. Thank you. Still one more back there, Brother Allen?
Yeah, Brother, this is Brother Allen. Yeah, when I gave my talk, I kind of messed up and said that Sister Kathy was the only one here from our class. But actually, there's a bunch of other brethren here. Right next to me are the U2s, Brother Igor and Sister Luchika and their family, Amelia, Ruth, David, and Estera. Sister Cheryl and Amy is here. Brother Merv and Sister Linda Honecker. And we have love from Marie Murchie, Larry and Ellen Roberts, Robert and Carol Long, and Brother Israel Kimbabwe. So,
very good.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sure there's. We still have some more there. Okay, I know there will be many more, and we appreciate that, brethren. We just want to give those little opportunities. Sometimes some might want to incorporate that love into their testimony. If you still have somebody you want to remember there. But this is an experience meeting, and that's really what we would like to be the focus. And so, we kind of have a question there for you. You know, how many here feel that they really have been in the right hand of the Lord? You're being held, and like that lapidarius, you've been put against that wheel, and you're having some experiences that have been cut in a facet. Well, then tell us about those experiences. That's what we'd like to hear about. So, who would be first? Oh, boy, we got a fast hand right there, Sister Camille. And give us your name.
Oh, yeah.
Give your name and where you're at. Or not where you're from, where you're at.
Where I'm at. Okay. Well, right now we are from the Puget Sound class, but Russ and I have just recently relocated from the Chicago Ecclesia. Russ was in Chicago for 65 years, and I was there for over 40. So, this is quite an adjustment for us, but... we've been enjoying the blessings of being with our natural family and enjoying the extreme blessings of getting to know more of the brethren out here in the Northwest. We have a huge family, and the Lord has blessed us richly. And it's just our cup runneth over. That's all I can say. Experiences, 2 years ago, most of you know, I had this Job kind of experience where I was literally falling apart. And the Lord has brought us through it beautifully. In fact, one of the doctor's prescriptions was good fresh air of the Northwest. So I said, yes, I like that one. So things are fine. I'm stable and much better than 2 years ago. So not out of the woods, but stable. And that's the best we can hope for at this point. It's good. The Lord directed so many small issues that it was absolutely, we would say, a blessing in our life and made us rethink an awful lot of things and felt his direction to this point in our life, and we're very, very blessed and thankful. One other thing that's coming up this coming week, and I'll be participating with the kids and several others in this room, we'll be going to the Midwest Bible Student Youth Camp, and that starts next Saturday. So if you are so disposed and remember, please keep the camp in prayers. You know, we all always can use a little extra help and support because there's a lot of kids and it's a big responsibility, not only in the physical aspects of it, but also in the spiritual, that we might help them in the best way we can. So thank you for this beautiful convention. It's a blessing to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, and Sister Sandy Hendricks in our area with her son Eli will be there, so you'll see them. So who would be next? I think Sister Judy was right up front. Hey, somebody got in front of you this year, Sister Judy. That was a race, I'll tell you.
Well, she's fast.
She was fast.
Brother Ed, I'd like to raise my voice in praise and thanksgiving to all the to the Heavenly Father for allowing all the brethren to attend the Salem Convention again. We welcome all of you with open arms. Love each one of you very much. So for personal experience, I was to go up to the airport to pick up Brother Don Horine and Sister Lori Kessler on Thursday. Well, neither one of them could come. Brother Don had sciatic problems. Sister Lori Kessler had a horrible airline, which is a whole other story because I made her flight arrangements for her through Frontier, not knowing they were second to the worst airline in the whole wide world and notoriously bad in customer service. And she would have had a 10-hour layover in Denver. So she couldn't do it. And I understood that. But, you know, I felt responsible because I'd made the arrangements for her. However, what I saw out of all of that, because I couldn't go to the airport to pick up either one of them because neither one of them was coming, that the Lord was just keeping me from getting on that freeway that day. Because I would have gone for the other one if only one was coming. So anyway, that aside, I could see the Lord's overruling in that. Yesterday morning, I was to pick up Sandy and Mitchell Self and Hannah Penny at the airport. So at about 11 o'clock, I'm pulling my skirt on. I look at the clock. It's 11 o'clock. I go, 11 o'clock? Aren't I supposed to be somewhere? And I looked at my sheet. 11:05 and 11:06 was the time they were getting in. I said, Lou, I'm going to the airport. He said, why? I said, I've got to pick up brethren. He said, who? I said, the Selfs and Hannah Penny. He said, did you forget? And I said, yep. And out I went, and I quickly called Sandy and left her a voicemail. And she wasn't able to pick it up, so she didn't know anything about this. Halfway up there at 11:44, I get a text from her, and I had my phone sitting there, so I only had to pick it up and look real quick because I was driving. And the traffic was really slow. It was horrible. So I could pick it up and look at it. She says, we're just now getting our baggage. I go, phew. So I voice texted her back. You just hit the little microphone and start talking. I said, I left home late. The traffic is really heavy. I'll be about a half hour late. See you in about a half hour. So as I'm driving into the airport, I voice texted her again. I can see that big tower, you know, the one where they watch all the planes coming in and going out. I can see it, so I'll be there momentarily. So I drove in, and there they were. They were as happy and as calm as could be. I got out of the car, and I said, I apologize 1,000 times over. For what? You didn't get my voice message? No, she didn't know a thing about it. They had to wait only about a half an hour. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just felt like a pea brain. But anyway, I'm so grateful everything worked out, and I'm just so grateful to be here. Lord bless.
Thank you, Sister Judy. Just another show of hands. You know, one thing that's always impressed me, you know, it's we have experiences common to the world, you know, and all, but the thing that seems to stand out is the timing. How many of you? It's the timing that just jumps out at you, seeing, oh, this is the evidence the Lord's overruling here. So, thank you. Who'd be next? Brother Albert, please.
Brother Ed and dear friends, I also want to raise my voice in thanksgiving to the Heavenly Father. First of all, thanking Him for Sister Norma and my privilege of attending the convention here this weekend. And, overruling providences. You know, if faithful, that's the first thing I'm going to want to do, is go look at the history of time and just see all those overruling providences. Some we see. You know, you heard Sister Judy doing a real laugh at lunchtime. Well, there's a story behind that. And really, the big thing was the overruling providence that was connected with that. Every day, there's always something that we can glean and look back and say, you know,
that's got to be overruled. That's got to be an overruling providence. And there's just one thing that we want to more and more and more cling on to, the fact that we are being looked after. If something is happening, the Lord sees fit that it is to happen. But the overruling providences are marvelous. Mm-hmm. Ask an interest in your prayers, brethren. We'll remember you in ours.
Thank you, Brother Albert. Who would be next? Brother Harry up front here. Here comes Brother Scott.
I'm Brother Harry Wildblood from the Mahomet, Illinois Ecclesia. And there were four of us coming, Brother Jim Martin, Brother Jim McClugan, Sister Linda McClugan, myself, and I had arranged to, I got the tickets on Southwest quite a long time ago. We went up to the Midway Airport. There were no seats near the gate, so we sat across the hall from that. We were watching, and the flight we were supposed to be on was delayed. And it kept saying, delayed, delayed, delayed. Well, after quite a while, we went over and said, you know, when's this flight going to take off? Oh, it's already gone. Oh, really? It never said boarding. There was no announcement we could hear. It just said delayed, delayed. It never said boarding. So she said, well, we have another direct flight. You can get in 11:30 tonight, or you can go to Las Vegas, have a two-hour layover, so you can do some gambling if you want. And then he'd be in at 8:30, and we thought, okay, well, let's do the Las Vegas thing. And so, one thing I appreciate is when there everything goes smoothly, you don't see the overrulings of the Lord. I mean, but when there are a lot of bumps in the road, you see how the Lord provides the shock absorbers. Well, we had two in our party that had artificial joints, you know, knees, hips, things. And so I said, well, you know, that other gate where the other flight is, it's way, way far away. Oh, we'll get you, you know, you can go in the little electric car. We have to get the driver. Well, 40 minutes later, he never showed up, you know. So there's a guy with a couple wheelchairs, and we said, well, he had the walkie-talkie. I said, well, you know, we're waiting for this guy. And he says, where is he? This is his only job. So he calls him up, and the guy says, I'm busy. Oh. Guy gets off the walkie-talkie and says, how can he be busy? This is his job. So we said, well, look, we're just going to have to walk because we can't afford to wait another 40 minutes for this man. Yeah, so this guy says, I will take you. So Brother Jim, Martin, Sister Linda get in the wheelchairs, and this one guy is pushing these two wheelchairs. So the Lord provided an angel. You know, he got us all the way, you know, to completely the other side of the airport. We fly to Las Vegas. And another angel had said to Brother Jim McClugan, you know, you don't need to wait to board. You can pre-board. So now the McClugans could sit together right in the front of the plane, so that was really nice. Well, our luggage got there 8 hours early, and we're thinking, I wonder if it'll still be there. Well, we get there, and there was another angel. It was a little lady. She's about 5 feet tall. Looked like she's about 70 years old, white hair, but she was a pit bull. It's like, this is my luggage until you prove it's yours. And, you know, if anybody on planet Earth, I would want guarding my luggage. This lady was the lady. So we got there. It was pristine. Her name was Vivian. Vivian. She's a sweetheart. But so the Lord provided these three angels along the way, you know, and we had actually more time to review some things on the plane. We had more time for fellowship amongst us. So, it was a little more circuitous path, but we got in. You know, everything we did was delayed, but we got in just fine. We're all safe. We're you know. So it was wonderful to see along the way, many of the Lord's overrulings, and talking to other brethren who had, you know, other travel difficulties on the way. It's just part of our experiences, but you know, what a glorious end. So we're very, very thankful.
Thank you, Brother Harry. So maybe a little add-on follow-up here with Sister Linda, so this kind of ties it together. But just, again, timing as well as, like, say, just these evidences of the Lord's care. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I have to follow and give a little bit more explanation of why the pre-boarding. But first of all, we want to raise our voice in love and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father. Thankful for the brethren's experiences and our own experiences and the lessons that we obtained from those. But first of all, I'm very, very claustrophobic. And when our flights was changed and rearranged, that meant we were going to be like the last ones to board. And on Southwest, there are no assigned seats. You just take what's available. And Brother Jim and I entered the plane, and, you know, I'm looking down this row of all these seats filled with people, and everything just went like this, closed in.
Just your claustrophobia.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said, I can't do this. I have to get off of here. I just can't do this. Mm. Well, a gentleman heard this and gave up his seat so we could at least sit together. And Brother Jim got me calmed down. But towards the end of the flight, the stewardess came and said, I'm coming back in a minute and I want to talk to you. She said, I'm a stewardess on this airplane, but I suffer from claustrophobia. She said, so I very much understand what you're going through. And she said, I suggest you do this. On your next leg of the flight, go up to the gate there, the person there, explain your situation, and they'll give you a pre-boarding pass. So Brother Jim went up and explained to them, and no problem at all. We obtained the pre-boarding pass. So the Lord's overrulings in our lives are just so evident in experiences like this, and I know the brethren have all had overrulings like this in their lives, and we're just so thankful. Just so thankful for the truth and the brethren. And this class here at Salem is just so special to us. And it's a joy to be with Sister Joy in her accommodations also. So just love each one of you and pray for you and ask an interest in your prayers.
Thank you, Sister Linda. Another one of those angels. Lord's providences. Thank you. Speaking of Sister Joy, she's right there.
Dear brethren, I'm so thankful to be here, especially today, and just thankful too for the Lord's overruling providences. In the Lord's overruling providence, I'd asked Kathy Ross to do a Sunday school, and then I called Carol Long. Well, they weren't coming, and I've got an lot of old Sunday schools I used to do when I was younger. But I ended up, I didn't want to have someone come not house them. Well, in the meantime, I've got some cancellations, so I had a lot of room. But at that point, I didn't. But I'm so thankful I had the privilege of doing the Sunday school with the children this morning. And I appreciate having the Bellevue class here and some from around Antioch and that. And their children are just lovely. And they touched my heart. And they seem to have a lot of respect and reverence, and I appreciate that. And with doing this Sunday school, I got it in an old Nordstrom box. And my husband had one of the men at the lumberyard make a door. Well, it had fingernail polish all over it for blood that I did years ago with the other kids, the grandchildren, and now the great-grandchildren. Anyway, the boy at the lumberyard, I took the whole box because I knew I could witness, because there was another Sunday school and they're showing the people going up the highway and the holiness and stars and Lord's bright star. So I did have a lot of opportunity to witness to the men at the lumberyard. So I appreciate that. But also, one of my, Alex, my youngest grandson, works at the lumberyard, and he copied all these sheets of paper that I think my brother Jerry Andrews did, and so I put them in a portfolio book. This Alex forgot two pages, so I had to go back the next day. So this one of these boys helped punch holes and put them in the little folders. Anyway, none of the kids wanted the folders. I didn't think I was going to have enough because there's about 17 in the class this morning. but the none of them won them, so I'll save them if I ever do this again. But I'm just so thankful for all of those overrulings and just meeting the children and seeing the parents and their grandparents and how much respect they have for them. Children touch my heart. I love children. And to do the plagues and having them get so excited about it, and of course the hail was ping pong balls, so they were being thrown all over. But the frogs and the dough, too, you probably saw that. But I'm just thankful I had that privilege. And I'm just thankful that all you brethren are here. I love you with my all my heart. And I love my Heavenly Father. Pray for me, dear brethren.
Thank you, Sister Joy. Well, children touched our Lord's heart. He made a point of using them as an illustration to touch the heart of others, too. So we can take a lot of lessons there. Thank you. In the very, very back there. Sister Lori.
Dear brethren, I'm Sister Lori Flynn from the Seattle class, and I want to bring you the love of the brethren in the Seattle class. There's four others besides me, my brother David and his wife Joanna Christensen, and Byron and Margie Keith. And we also have the wonderful privilege of meeting with the Bellevue class once a month, which we just thoroughly enjoy and appreciate. And I just had to stand up and just praise the Lord for his goodness. And I'm so thankful to be here, and had wonderful fellowship with Dan and Kathy on the way down. And I came in late, and I have to tell you why. After lunch, I thought, well, I really need to go walk and so I can sit for the rest of the afternoon. And Sister Joanna and I were walking, and then we stopped in at McDonald's, and we lost track of time. And then we thought, oh, dear, you know, should we come in late or what should we do? I didn't want to miss the testimonies. Just as we were leaving, I noticed two young ladies sitting in McDonald's praying before they ate their food. They were holding hands and praying together. So I got a booklet out of my purse, and Why Does God Permit Evil booklet. And I went over and I said, excuse me, I just wanted to say how much I appreciated seeing you two pray to the Lord before your meal. And may I share my faith with you? And they were so enthusiastic. And one young girl got up. She said, can I hug you? And I said, you certainly can. I said, you just made my day. So I don't know what they'll think, if they'll read it and what they'll think of the message, but it really gave me great pleasure to share with these two young ladies what we know of our Father's character and his beautiful plan. That really meant a lot to me. So I was feeling guilty for being late, and then I thought, okay, well, it turned out to be a blessing. Anyway, I'm just very, very thankful to be here with all of you, asking interest in your prayers as I pray for you, especially as the times are getting worse and worse as we go, and we need each other. We need to encourage and support one another. And it's just a blessed privilege. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Lori. I'm trying to find the scripture here, one we always appreciate in this context. Bring it up quickly here. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's one thing to have this understanding, this belief, and the Lord knows what we see and understand, but to have an opportunity to confess it, you know, to be willing to actually project that understanding that we've received, whether others receive it or not, but to be ready to do so. So thank you for that example. Thank you. Right here.
Dear brethren, Sister Gloria Newsel from North Seattle Bible Students. I have direct love that I cannot omit bringing from Brother Tom Connell and Brother Robert Kirkham. Now, others may give other class love, but the brethren send love from North Seattle. And we, you know, we're thankful for our brethren. We grow closer to them. We've learned a lot from helping Brother Tom with some hard problems with his apartment. They renovated it. And we were glad to be a part of it. because we get to know our brethren when we're working closely with them. And hopefully we build each other up. And being at the convention here, we prayed for the convention and the Lord and the speakers and the brethren attending, and the Lord has answered our prayers. So many helpful thoughts. And it's testimony being so great to hear the Lord's overruling in the brethren's lives for their development and for our encouragement. And this, what we receive of the Holy Spirit and the Word, is such a power, and it's such a great help for us to continue on. And like one said, to stay on track, stay on mission, and finish our mission. And our Lord knows our needed experiences long before we knew we needed them, and working them out. So hearing the convention brethren and talking, we are just so overwhelmingly blessed, and our faith and trust is so enlarged that we are on the high road now. We are engaged in a great work. And now I can see so many brethren engaged in their finishing work. See the beautiful characters we have. And I appreciate your lesson on the diamond. Another lesson on the diamond is there's another gem, which I refer to a lot in my life, the pearl.
Pearl.
The irritant that makes the pearl sometimes is our... And we're going to make our own individual pearl. And they're not all perfect, but they're all so beautiful. And it's because of the oyster or the world, outside influences that develop us. So we're thankful for our brethren and getting to know more and getting closer. And now we can pray fervently for the brethren to our Heavenly Father, and thankful for this gathering. It's one of my favorite. Been raised in the truth here in Salem 53 years ago. So we're glad always to come back to have the fellowship and the uplifting. And you're in our prayers.
Thank you, Sister Gloria. We appreciate kind of little reminders there. And it's a wonderful thought. Some of these finishing touches, you know, these fine facets that are going on, and it causes that brilliant effect that we talked about, the fire. And so we really encourage those younger brethren and all to use as much of your time as you possibly can to be with your older brethren. Not only to have that smoothing effect because you're around those characters that are so refined, but you get those brilliant flashes of the finished results here the Lord's been working on. And so we encourage that, and we thank you for your example in that respect. Gloria. She and I have had some recent communications. We've had a shared experience and all, too. So we see the Lord's hand in our lives. So we appreciate that. Who'd be next? Sister Gail. Got one right here. Yep.
Thank you, Brother Ed. Dear brethren, Sister Gail Grabner from the San Antonio Ecclesia. And I neglected to bring the love of Sister Pam Davis, my natural sister, and brother-in-law, Brother Bill Davis. They send their special love. Also wanted to express gratitude to the brethren here in Salem for all their efforts. Special thanks to the kitchen crew and to our hosts, the Garrisons. Thankful for that. But especially thankful for all the Lord's providences. First of all, for our trip. Thankful for the difficulties in between, but for each day there was a new stop to see brethren, visit with them, opportunities that we have very not so very often. So what if there's a little trouble in between? Just thankful for all those opportunities. But also thought I'd just share one experience we had fairly recently. It made the national news, so you might have seen there was a... I work at the University of Texas there in Austin, and there was a stabbing incident on campus, a young man who was mentally unstable. stabbed three or four other college students, one of them fatally. He was a freshman. So it was just a couple of blocks from where my office was. It was in the middle of the day, and so it certainly sent a chill through the whole campus. If it happens late at night, you can kind of understand, well, you know, the students think, well, if I just don't go out at night, I'm safe. But many, many students were afraid to come to campus at all after that. It was the last week of classes. Some students couldn't get back into their dorm because the police were investigating. They had to leave books and things behind. And so the faculty was contacted to say, you know, please give your students a little bit more time to make up work and, you know, be cognizant of things. And they had sent a document out to the faculty of how to cope with a tragedy. And I thought, these are really good points for the students, too. And there wasn't anything sent on their behalf. So I just modified the language that was so it would be appropriate for the students and then posted it online and sent an email out to the students and let them know they'd have, you know, a couple extra weeks to get all their assignments done and so forth. And so I got some responses back that, you know, students were grateful for that. And, you know, what are the chances, 50,000 students on campus, but the roommate of the girlfriend of the young man that was killed was in my class. And so she was especially thankful that, you know, I reached out to the students and so forth. Of course, it was a little thing to do, honestly. What else would you do? That, and then the other thing, it was the last week of classes. Now I teach biochemistry. And so I like to say I teach science, I don't teach religion, so I don't teach my faith, and I don't teach evolution. That's another religion. So I'm not going to teach that. I teach the science. But at the end of the semester, the last day of class, I like to tell the students why biochemistry is important to me. And so now this was in this environment. So I'm telling the students that I started my study of biochemistry with belief in a creator, and that everything I've studied since then is just another proof that there is an intelligent creator. And it was really interesting. For one of my sections, I have three sections, and for one of the sections, they're really boisterous. I think it's the time of day. It's hard to get them to settle down at times. But as soon as I said something about an intelligent creator, complete silence in the room. And they were just looking at me. They couldn't believe what I was not. I don't think it was necessarily they couldn't believe what I was saying, but it's like they did not expect me to be saying that. I think it was the thing. And so many students came up to me afterwards and thanked me or sent me an email. It was a comfort to them. And this one case, the young girl was literally in tears. And she was so affected by what happened. And I was trying to comfort her because I thought she was afraid. That's probably the most common response. She said, "No, I'm not afraid. I just keep thinking about those poor people." She was so sympathetic that she just couldn't rest her mind about it. And it was a comfort to her to think there was a creator that was in charge of things. So I just really appreciate the Lord's providences and all that. You never know how, you know, a word here, a word there, what an impact it might have on someone. So it was a special privilege, and we just really appreciated that opportunity. And, of course, you'd love to tell them more, but what they have to look forward to in the kingdom when they really learn about their Father, like Brother Harry was saying, when they really come to know who the Father is, what a blessing that will be. So just thank for all those experiences, and again, just really rejoicing in convention.
Thank you, Sister Gail. Yeah, it's been an interesting trip. Driving an old motorhome, air conditioning has gone out. We've been in some places as high as 120 degrees or higher on the way out. But again, all of that really, like, just like the friends say, you know, you don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. But when it's 120 degrees, it's pretty hard not to sweat. But the real joy has been the brethren. Just all every day, a few hours with our brethren across the country. Just all, you forget all the rest of that. Just forget all the rest of it. And so this convention has been very much that way. And for both of us. For both of us. Thank you, Brandon. Who'll be next? Ah, we get Sister Marlene. Please. Again, your name and where you're at.
My name is Sister Arlene Battaglia. I'm from the Portland area Bible students. I really hadn't intended on testifying, but then Sister Joy and Sister Gail gave me some things that I need to say. The first one is that in August, August 19th and 20th, you know, the Portland area Bible students is having their convention. I'm sure someone else here mentioned it, and there's probably programs on the table. But Sister Carolyn Fiorello and I are in charge of Bible classes, and we're having a difficult time getting teachers. So if you would just love to teach your younger brethren, we have a theme. We have it all worked out when the classes are going to be. So if you would want to come to me and I can show you what's available to help out with. Then the other thing, I was thinking about Sister Gail and that she was telling about the incident on campus with somebody stabbing somebody. You know, it's every week that there's something in the news. And in Portland a couple of weeks ago, some man was harassing a couple of young women. One was a Muslim, and she had her traditional scarf on. The other was a black young woman. And then some people on the train, on the TriMet Rapid Transit, a couple of men came to their defense, which was very kind. But then three of them got stabbed. Two of them died from the stabbing. I was surprised that, you know, if I ever see anything about Portland in the news, it's always surprising. People in the Midwest and the... You don't hear much about Portland, you know, other than... unless you live in the area. So it was surprising. But every week, a couple times a week, there's always something on the news about another incident, and just makes us realize how much closer we are to the full establishment of the kingdom and the anarchy that's involved. Anyway, I'm very happy to be here, and I ask an interest in your prayers, and I pray for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister. There's one good aspect of all this that has brought so much to our attention, even if it's a single event that gets repeated and repeated and repeated, but it should just really stimulate us to really, for that kingdom arrangement. Hopefully stimulate us to press a little harder, strive and make our calling, election sure. That's the solution. Who'll be next? Up front here. Sister there at the chair. Right behind you is Brother Aaron. He's got the... There.
Hi, brethren. My name is Cheryl Nemai, Sister Cheryl Nemai, and I am from the Antioch class, actually. I live in Vernon, British Columbia, but I do attend the Antioch class online. But I do also try to phone my brethren when I get an opportunity. You asked for us to testify about experiences, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to testify to my Heavenly Father. I've been having, my sister and I inherited our parental home together, and with her came her three sons, all three of whom are very troubled, having difficulties. And over the years, that has greatly affected me, not only because we live together, but also because they're my sister's children, and I don't really have a say in what happens in the home because she's very defensive of them. So all these times that, these years that this has been happening, I was always praying to the Heavenly Father and also in communication with various brethren about why they thought the same sorts of trials continue to occur over and over again. And the first thing that I came to, I think, realize is that little by little, certain possessions flew away out of the home that were mine. And gradually I realized that the Lord was trying to pare worldly things away from me, to show me how unimportant they are, even though they're inherited in family heirlooms. Sometimes they just, if we cling on to them too hardly, or heartily, that's taking our love away from making treasures in heaven. So that was the first thing that I think I came to realize. But the experiences continued to go on, you know, with these boys who are very troubled and having all kinds of difficulties with the law, etc. And finally, when it came to this convention, I had everything all in order, and I was going to come, and I had all my arrangements made, and then something occurred, and I thought, okay, well, it's just not going to be possible. And then I had an incident with one of the boys, and I became extremely angry, talking about meekness and humility. And I realized, I think, I sort of felt like I had a little bit of an epiphany that even though the Lord has allowed these, and they've been quite difficult, hard trials, because I'm there by myself, basically. I do have communication with brethren by the telephone, but I'm there in the home by myself, and my family, none of them are interested in the truth at all. They don't want to hear about it, and occasionally they'll ridicule me because of going to church and stuff online. So I prayed about it over the weekend, about coming to the convention, and then I had this incident with the youngest boy, and when I say boy, he's 35, so it's not really a child anymore. And I realized, I think, that because of all these years of things being taken from me by them, I had been harboring a large amount of anger and resentment inside that I didn't even know was there. And suddenly I thought, maybe that's why I've been having these experiences, because the Lord wants me to see that that type of character is not what he wants for his jewels. He wants us to cleanse ourselves of all these impurities, and as you said, with the diamonds, all these inclusions of things that we might not even see are there. And so, not only anger, but lack of forgiveness. I thought, well, I won't think about it. I'll try and put it away from my mind. But really, I haven't forgiven them for taking many, many things from me. I remember one time I came back from a convention and my work computer was gone. So it's been hard. But now I think I shouldn't look at it as being hard. I should look at it as rejoicing, because the Lord loved me enough to allow me to continue to have those experiences so that I can see what is in my character that needs to be changed and gotten rid of. And I want to thank the brethren who know who they are, who've helped me along the way, who always take my phone calls. I'm sorry if I've burdened them over the years with similar stories of the things going on and on. They must wonder, why doesn't she just sort of remove herself from the situation? It's kind of harder than it seems. But I do love them all, and I love my brethren. I want to thank the Leslies for having me stay with them. They've been dear souls for me always. And the Salem Convention for having us, and my class in Antioch, who have also been really, really supportive. So I thank the Heavenly Father for all his goodness towards me, all his providences, and his love, and for his long-suffering faithfulness for continuing on and on, even though I didn't get the message. You know, it's been years. So, but finally, I hope I'm starting to learn the lessons that I need to know. Thank you, brethren. Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Sister Cheryl, and for kind of, you know, relating these lessons from the platform here as well to your, you know, find a practical application, your own experience, but just kind of brings it home. That was what I was struggling with. You know, we do have ones who have these repeating experiences, and they just go over and over and over. And why? You know, your whole thought there with the inclusions. Oftentimes in the process, one of the solutions for those is to fill them in with some type of material that would harden, and the person, the non-expert looking at it, would never know. They're basically hiding it instead of taking the extra effort. No, the father says, no, this, we're not going to allow this to be hidden. So we're going to work on it, 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 however long it takes. He loves us too much. Loves us too much. Thank you. Who would be next? Sister Rosemary, please.
It's so wonderful to be here. It's kind of my home ecclesia for 18 years. And it's great to be home. And I love my new place, of course, up in Portland area class. And I love all the brethren that meet there and live there. And we have a wonderful schedule going all the time. I'm busier than I've ever been. And I just had my three children there. And we've enjoyed so many things with the brethren, with each other. And I just wanted to tell you, this convention has been great. I started last night at home with the first two talks, which were a real blessing. And today has been beautiful. And I'm thankful I could bring some other sisters here, too. And also wanted to tell you about, I go get a massage every month. And I had a new girl recently. And she's a black girl and just as sweet as she can be. And her name is Kanika, which is quite different. And anyway, as we were getting introduced and she was starting to work on me, she said, where do you live? And I told her, and I didn't say BSRC, I said Bible Student Retirement Home. She said, oh, Bible student. And that turned it on, and I started witnessing to her during the whole hour. And she was responding and just enjoying it so very much. And the next month, I did the same thing. She wanted to know, you're going to go to Bible study tonight? And I said, yes. And she got such a blessing. And I got the blessing. If nothing ever happens, I got a great blessing. Yeah. And so I told her, I said, I'm leaving you another tract today, and you can send away for this book called The Divine Plan of the Ages. Oh, she says, I want to read it. I said, good. And I said, in fact, you don't have to send it. I'll bring it to you, or send away for it. I'll bring it to you next time. She said, okay. So I don't know what will happen next, but it makes the hour so smooth and so wonderful. And she enjoys it. She keeps asking questions. And it's just a great blessing to me. If nothing ever happens, it's a real blessing from the Lord. So I ask her prayers along that line and for other things too. You know, we pray for each other every night and love you all so much. And thank you for everything.
Thank you, Sister Rosemary. Well, so yeah, like I say, whether something comes out of it or not, in the end, I trust it'll be quite a blessing to her, whether now or maybe in the kingdom arrangement. She remembers that opportunity, that privilege she had, because so we understand it, you know, the hair can represent our consecration. And sometimes ones in the world, they've been involved in some of the trimming experiences that we might go through, and they've helped us, or maybe some opportunities. So whether they realized it or not, maybe that will be one of the blessings down the road, that she had the privilege of a contact with one who was in training to be part of that great high priest. Thank you. Who'd be next? Brother Jim. Here's Jim Martin. Here's your nephew for you.
I'm Brother Jim Martin from the West Suburban Class of Illinois. When I come to this convention, it's hard to recognize that it's been, when I first came here, it's been 47 years ago. And I think of, as we walk through the door, many of the brethren that are not with us. And it's a sadness. And yet we rejoice with them in many cases. I just jotted down some of the names that may have jocked your memories a little bit. I think of Jerry Andrus and Jim Blackman and Sister Helen Barton and Brother Ed and Doris Lorenz and Norman and Rachel Rice and Charlie and Ruth Chambers and Leonard Moore and Wilf and Berna McNee and Alan and Evelyn McAllister, my late wife Esther, and Ed and Doris Borwick and Freeman Thompson. Just were some, and I didn't mean to miss anybody. But it's an idea that the Bible students movement are getting old. We talked about many of the brethren are serving, never thought they'd get to the idea that they'd be on Social Security now. And I've been on for 27 years. But the idea, I think, that we're rejoicing in, that there's still some here that we've rejoiced with for many years, but that the years sometimes slip past us a little easier than we do. And we think of the blessed times and the fellowship we've had. And those are the sweet memories. If they've passed beyond the veil to the reward, we rejoice with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that in itself is the sweetest memory that we have. Memory is a marvelous thing that we possess as human beings. We can think of the times we had together and the fellowship that we've had. And this will continue if faithful throughout not just years or something, endless ages of eternity. We can't fathom what that means in time. But the grand work, this really the divine plan of the ages, such a small age group when you can consider it in that period of time. And these will be divine beings, if faithful, to be used with that power to help and establish whatever God's arrangement for the church is. And that's what becomes our hope. And we rejoice in the privilege of being part of that starting class, as it were, to bless not only all the agents of this world are part of the mercy, but whatever the Lord has in arrangement in future worlds, as Brother Russell suggests in many cases, and we think of that. It's hard to imagine when we go to sleep that you don't need rest if you're on beyond the veil. You don't have to have the eating that we're so privileged to have when we come to this convention and all the other amenities that humankind has. But the privilege, particularly as we come together to study the pure word of truth. We're thinking and talking about the brethren. You know, there's one thing that separates the Bible students from all the other groups around, and that's the thing that we have on every convention program. Welcome to all believers in the ransom, to those that love our Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy to be a part of that class. And that God has called us and revealed himself to us, brought us into his divine counsel and shown these blessed things. And so when we come with even the sadness of the memories past, it's a refreshing of the times we have together, even at conventions like this. And I appreciate all you brethren for so many years. And we thank the brethren. I think of the family that works in the kitchen. They have always been such a rich, rich blessing to me, that knows a family that will be willing to give up their whole weekend, come to and serve the brethren in every capacity, young and old. I marvel over the little children that are serving the brethren and helping in every capacity. And I've seen them grow from little ones up, and their children are doing the serving now. And what a joy and a privilege they'll think of if eventually, when the kingdom comes, that they, by God's grace, that had the opportunity to serving some of the Lord's little ones. He's not unrighteous to forget that labor of love. And I know that's given out of the willingness and joy of their heart. But when we see it being manifest to us, we can't help but think of it's like the Lord blessing to us. And we thank the brethren here for so many years. And we rejoice, and we never know how much longer we will be before we, the faithful, we rejoin. Just this mighty partial list that we had of the brethren that touched us in this area. And they're all over the country, too. So, Lord bless you, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Your thoughts reminded us of the June 13th manna. Any brethren would be familiar with the thought from the Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. and a partial quote from a hymn, "Now let our thoughts on wings sublime rise from the trivial cares of time." But this is the one that says, "Let thoughts of God and Christ and the worthy saints of the past and the presence, of the heavenly inheritance, of the blessedness of our future work in cooperation with Christ, of the magnitude and benevolence of the divine plan, and of the glory and blessedness of our gathering together unto Christ when our work of the present life is finished, fill our minds and inspire our hearts." You know, so we have wonderful memories, and that should be the effect upon us. But as we see other, you know, ones around us that inspire us, or even ones who might be given that cup of cold water, the Lord will reward. He will give them their reward. But presently, the benefit and effect upon us inspire us. So thank you for inspiring us. Who'd be next? Sister Sally in the back, and then maybe we'll come back to Sister Kathy right there in the center. Sister Sally.
Brother Ed and dear brethren, I'm Sister Sally Heidelbach from the Berean Bible Students of Michigan, and it's a joy to be with you again. We look forward to this every year, and you are our spiritual family, and we love you very much. I think probably most of you in the room know what happened to me and why I'm sitting in the wheelchair. But for those online, and especially our home ecclesia, which are probably saying, "What is she doing there in the wheelchair?" I'll just give you the short version. We were at, we went to the coast last Monday, and in order to get on the sand, you had to go over some rocks, which was slippery. And I didn't fall, but I kind of really torqued my knee very badly. And it was not getting better, so we went to the emergency room the night before we came up here, and they said, "Yeah, you probably tore something, but we won't know until you get an MRI." And I choose not to do that here, but at home, so we'll have to wait and see exactly what it is. But I kind of felt at home at the BSRC, you know, with a cane and a wheelchair, and I fit right in. But it's been a blessing, and Sister Gail brought up a memory or something that I had forgotten about, and that was that a couple weeks ago we had two granddaughters that graduated from high school on the same weekend, and I was really amazed at one of the graduations. They had the kids tell what they were thankful for, and what amazed me was how many thanked God or their Lord Jesus for the blessings in their life. I was really, really surprised and very pleased, and that was just a nice reminder that there are lots of good people in the world that still have that, you know, that are looking to our Heavenly Father, and they will make great strides in the kingdom. And I just wanted to, again, assure you of my love for all of you and thankfulness for this convention and all the hard work that goes on to put this on. And Lord bless you.
Thank you, Sister Sally, especially the thought of how that encouraged you. Likewise, not to diminish the physical experiences, these two are just part of this walk. It's narrow way. Brother Jim is saying it's an aging population. How many here have had some difficulty with a knee or some other joint? You're in very good company, Sister Sally. So the Lord will see you through the experience, and there'll probably be some lessons or things that come out of it too. But those part of motoring along, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, but we don't expect the earthen vessel to improve. And but it's going to give us some good polishing experiences, so we can be thankful for that. We had Sister Kathy Ross there, right?
Brother Ed and friends, first I want to thank Sister Betty and her husband Barry for always opening their home to us and making us feel like family, even though we are family. So we really do appreciate that. And also the time we get to spend with others of the family that are there. I wanted to just relay a little story of Brother Alan and I's experience regarding one of our favorite things to do, and that's we love the outdoors and camping and things like that. Some of you that know us know that. Well, over the years, since 1990, 27 years ago, we started going to Yosemite, even though the first time we went to Yosemite was in 1974. We went a number of times together alone. And then in 1990, when our daughter was three, our neighbors invited us to come with them and start going camping with a group of people. Well, we did this for a number of years, and the people in the group got up to sometimes over 30 people with the families and children and whatnot. I think my mic, yeah, there, it's still working. And so this went on, and then eventually as we got into the Antioch Ecclesia, we invited some of the brethren to go with us, so the Long brothers, and then finally their wives. Then down the years, we've had Brother David Kirkham and his daughters Leanne and Kristen came with us. Carol. Yeah, Carol. And then we had, let's see, Scott and Janet. We met them there. Sister Kim Cleary. And then recently, a couple years ago, Brother Harry, we were able to take him down there and share the redwoods with him. And then last year, we were to see Gloria and Don Newsell on their trip, and they were actually made it to Yosemite, but they had to call their trip a little short because of some circumstances they had. So we were a little disappointed to not see them, but we understood. Well, anyway, this year, every year you have to sign up for Yosemite campsites. We go Mother's Day weekend every year for almost 30 years, and now we do it on the computer. Back in the day, we used to do it over the phone, and we had Alan and I and our daughter and her husband all on our computers. You have to be on December 15th to get in May, the week of May, Mother's Day. So 5 months ahead to get a site. And they open the registration at 7 a.m. And so, you know, you have to be on by the world clock on time to start your computer and start the process. Well, this year we tried it, and not any of us got on. When we got off the computers, we called our neighbors. None of them were able to get on. Nobody in our group, including their children now who are grown, nobody was able to get in. So Alan was saying, well, maybe we should try another date and all this stuff. And I said, well, I think we should just wait. The Lord, I think, has other plans for us, because maybe there's a reason why we're not supposed to go. Well, sure enough, May comes, Mother's Day weekend, and there was flooding in the valley. The Merced River overflowed. There were a number of rock slides during that time period where roads were closed and whatnot. So we just took that from the Lord that there was reasons that he wasn't supposed to go there. Another factor was our neighbors. They were trying to find out why we couldn't get in. They drove there and discovered that because the drought that we've been having for the last 7 years or so has affected the trees in the park, and they've weakened them, and then the pine beetles have come in and destroyed or killed a lot of the trees. So consequently, last year, three people were killed in the park where trees fell on campers. And so they were in the process of going through the campgrounds and removing many, many of the trees. So our neighbors were kind of horrified, because the campground that we've always used was practically wiped out as far as trees. So it's all open sun now and looks very different. It would have been very disappointing. So we took that, again, as something from the Lord. So it just is a lesson to me that we shouldn't push our wills on what we think we should be doing. We should kind of sit back sometimes and see what the Lord has in store for us. And we just are thankful that we did wait, and we know that there will be opportunities to do things again. And we appreciate this opportunity to have this trip to see these pine trees up here.
There we go.
And all the brethren that are represented by those trees to me. So thank you. Lord bless you all.
Well, thank you, Sister Kathy.
Well, I assure you it wouldn't be half as spectacular, but I can guarantee you there would be no problem getting into the Monahan Sand Hills State Park in Texas at any time during the year. So might be a place you want to consider, you know. I don't recommend June or July. That's the 120-some degree area. But it does illustrate, I think, in harmony with the considerations today, our Lord, our Father's power and wisdom, His overruling providences and care, is anything too hard for the Lord? So basically holding up your reservation situation there, and you find the dynamics of what occurred from a weather standpoint. This is just an engineering problem. If you know all of the variables, it wasn't something they had to overrule. He says, oh, here's what's happening here. I understand all of the engineering's going on. And on this date, this is what's going to happen in this location based upon what we understand, what he would know. He's not incapable of that. So we can trust him that he sees all of that. He sees every bit of this was just a simple engineering problem issue. Just got to know all the variables, all the factors, do the calculations. So, I mean, that's the degree to which he understands what's happening. In this planet, our Lord would be the one who's really doing all that math and calculations and has that ability. But to think to what degree he can overrule in our lives with the object, as has been brought out very well this weekend, to develop our characters, then we will have that ability when exalted to the divine nature and be able to assist billions of mankind. And they're going to have that same experience, realizing that the Christ head and body are overruling in their affairs with the same goal, a perfect character that will ultimately be able to glorify God. So what a privilege to have this providential care in advance of the world of mankind, developing our characters so that we will have the privilege of training others and then see reflected in them. Can you imagine the testimony meetings they will have? This is a powerful tool, brethren. Why wouldn't we expect mankind to also gather and share their experiences as they're helping each other up the highway of holiness? So thank you, brethren, for sharing your experiences, and we take a lot from that, and encourages us very much. Thank you again.